What difference do we expect from a series of talks on the Holy Spirit as individuals in the church and perhaps more important in the society in which we live? We've had a series of 6 weeks. What difference are we expecting from a sermon series on the Holy Spirit? Well, it'd be great if from the series of talks on the Holy Spirit we knew more about God the Holy Spirit. We knew more about what he did in the Old Testament. We knew more about the day of Pentecost. And we knew more about his life, his work in us. More experiences of being filled with God's Spirit. That'd be great. Now we come today to looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And once again, what difference are we expecting from a talk from the Bible on the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What difference is it going to make? Now, I had a minor crisis as I prepared this week, a minor crisis, because I thought, here I stand, and I look at this passage, and I share the passage with you, and we trust that God speaks to us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But then what happens? What do we expect? And the crisis was because I felt, as the pastor or minister here, I wasn't sure what to do. How do I give a talk on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then we all go home? That's really important because we don't just want to hear a talk and say, well, that was good or bad or whatever, and then go home. If we're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we want God to do something and we want to ask, what gifts are for me? That's really important. Otherwise, do we just carry on as if the sermon was never preached, as if God said nothing about gifts? But it's possible for a church to go on and do all the things a church does without really relying on God's Holy Spirit. That is possible. Now, fortunately, I had a meeting yesterday morning with a small group leaders, and I shared about what we're doing, and it was very helpful. And that's what church leadership is all about. It's not just me. The other small group leaders were there, and we think we've heard God on a way forward for Sunday and for Wednesday evenings. So then let's look at the teaching of the God's gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning. Let's look at these gifts that God gives us, and let's look and say it's going to make a difference. And there'll be a chance for you when you come up to communion to be especially open to what God might want to do with you and for you and in you by giving you gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the passage. It's 1 Corinthians 12, and Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Corinth was a seaport, a busy seaport, and it had all the things you could expect in a busy seaport, some good and some bad. It was an expensive place to live in. There were lots of temples around, and the morals of the city were pretty loose. And some of the people who lived in the city were now in the church. Paul says, when you were pagans, this is how you behave. So people who had very little knowledge of God, they weren't Jewish, they weren't, some of them would have been, they weren't adherents to the Jewish faith, they were pagans. That's what he says, they were pagans. And these pagans came into the church. And what seems to be happening in the church is that they were impressed by anything that looked supernatural. So he says, when you were pagans, you were moved by idols. It didn't matter what you said, it just looked supernatural. And now he says, if you come in the church, when God's supernatural gifts work, there are certain parameters. There are certain things you look for. He said, you can't possibly say Jesus is accursed and claim that that was by the Holy Spirit. That could have happened in your pagan temples. You shook and you did things and people thought it was great. But it matters what you say. And you can't say Jesus is Lord, he says, except by God's Spirit working in you. Now, obviously, one can utter those words without God's Spirit. But for them to say Jesus is Lord was a commitment to follow Christ, because Caesar claimed to be Lord. And if you said Jesus is Lord, you were telling people that he is your Lord, not Caesar. And in some cases, it would lead to persecution and even death. And that you can only do if God's Spirit is at work within you. So here's this church with people who come from a pagan background, and they were used to getting excited in their worship and seeing all sorts of things like you see in animism today, all sorts of exciting and shaking and moving. And it comes into the church, and Paul says, hang on, when God's Spirit works, there's certain things we need to check out. So that's the background. You can't just claim it's from the Holy Spirit if it makes no sense. That's the background to the church in Corinth. Secondly, Paul wants to talk about unity and diversity in verses 4 to 7. He says there's different kinds of gifts. There's different kinds of way in which God's Spirit works, but it all is done for the common good. Now, you can expect that from a God who is wonderful and imaginative like our God is. He's not going to do the same thing in each of us. He's going to do different things because that's who God is. So Paul says when God's Spirit works, he works differently in everybody. Why does he do it? Not so I can feel good, but for the common good. So God pours out his Spirit. He gives us different gifts for the common good, and we're not all the same. So Paul speaks in verses 4 to 7 about our wonderful diversity. What he does in each one of us is different. So as we sit here this morning, God wants to do something different. He wants us to say, I'm open. What gifts do you want to give me, Lord? And then he gives a list of the gifts, which I'm going to go through this morning. This is now verses 8 to 11. To each one, verse 7, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given, through the Spirit, the message or the word of wisdom. What does it mean to have a spiritual gift of the word of wisdom? Perhaps you can think of Solomon in the Old Testament. Remember, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit came upon different people at different times. In the period in which we live, God's Spirit comes to all of us. But Solomon was presented with a problem. They brought a baby, and two mothers said, both claimed this baby was theirs. So Solomon is given a word of wisdom. He says, to bring a sword, let's cut the baby in two. And of course, the mother whose child it really is says, no, please don't do that. And the other one says, yes, do it, and we'll each have half a baby. Pretty crude story, but that was a word of wisdom that Solomon was given. A word of wisdom from God. And you may have had that experience in your life. Maybe there were situations when you said something, where did that come from? Where did I get the wisdom to give that reply to someone? A word of wisdom from God. Not just general wisdom we learn, but a special word of wisdom like Solomon had. The second gift is a word or a message of knowledge. And perhaps the best example of that is the Samaritan woman. You remember the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well, and he started talking to her, and then he says, go and get your husband. And the woman replies, I haven't got a husband. And Jesus looks at her with a word of knowledge and says, right, you've had five husbands and now you're living with someone. That was a word of knowledge. There was no other way Jesus could have known that except with a word of knowledge. And I've seen that operate today, that gift, where people perhaps come up if the church service is so arranged that there's an opportunity for people to come up. They have their courage and they come and say, I think possibly someone is here who is. And they give an example. And it's God given them that word, and often that person is there with that particular problem. A word of knowledge. So a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Faith is the next gift that's mentioned. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another by the same Spirit knowledge, and to another the gift of faith. Now, faith is a big word with lots of meanings. All of us put our faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. There's no other way we can be saved except to put our faith in Jesus Christ. But there's a special gift of faith that God gives to special people, which lifts everyone up. There was someone called George Muller who had an orphanage in Bristol. And he completely ran that orphanage by faith. He trusted God to give them all the money they needed, even to the point of saying grace for a meal one day when there was no meal. And he used his gift of faith such a lot that the meal came. And I've seen that gift as well, where people have got the belief that God can do something, and we're struggling. Can God really do that? We've got to spend 100,000 rand for the work of ministry in the church. Will God really give us 100,000 rand? That's an example. The gift of faith, a special gift where people say, I'm trusting in God, and they lift us up through their special faith that they have. Maybe you, someone who's got faith in God to do bigger things than I can imagine or others can imagine. The gift of healing is the next gift mentioned. Now, we need to just say a few things about healing. John Wimber was here many years ago, and he was very honest. He called people up to be healed at these meetings, and he said, we have about a 1 in 3 success rate. Very honest. So not everybody who was prayed for was healed. And that's because the kingdom of God is here, but it's not here. God's kingdom has not yet fully been realized. So it's not automatic that if you pray for someone to be healed, they are healed. And healing is a big subject. We all go to doctors, and that's absolutely right to go to doctors. And they're a gift to us. But I can think of some occasions where in my own life I've experienced praying for people and it seems as if God's touch and God heals them. Our own son, when he was born, had a terrible rash on his back. Now, I don't know why it wasn't healed in the normal way, but he went away for a church weekend, and this little boy of one, it was quite moving. We held this little boy, and everyone prayed for him. 2 days later, or 3 days later, we were bathing him, and the rash was gone. It was a kind of eczema, just gone. Now, you might say medically there's a reason, but for us, it looked that God had wonderfully answered a prayer of healing. And if I can say it without any emotion, or not too much emotion, my own wife, we prayed for her for a long time. Lots of people prayed for her. She wasn't healed. She died of cancer. That's what happened. And so we need to be realistic and honest and open and expectant. The danger is that when we see the 2/3 that are not healed, we're scared to pray for healing. Let's ask God to touch people and work alongside our doctors and trust God for the gift of healing for people. And then miraculous gifts, the gift of working miracles. Oh, that's really amazing. And you see that in the Old Testament, in the New Testament with Jesus, wonderful gifts of healing. Then the gift of distinguishing between spirits. Distinguishing between spirits. What's that gift? There's the Holy Spirit, there's the human spirit, and there's the evil spirit. And when something happens, how do we know whether that's God? Some people, for instance, when they hear tongues, they are not at all sure if this is God or not. Is this just the human spirit? Is the person just making it up? Or worse still, could it be evil spirit? Or is it God's spirit? Now, some people have got the gift of discernment. They can see what God is doing. They can see what is just human. They can see what is distinctly evil. And they can see what God is doing. Maybe you've got that sensitivity. God is giving you the gift of distinguishing between spirits, of seeing where God is working, where the Holy Spirit is working. And then the other gifts, which I'm going to be looking at again, I think, not too sure where the sermons are going in the next few weeks, but prophecy and tongues are mentioned again in 1 Corinthians, and maybe we'll look at them again. Prophecy is not so much a gift of predicting the future, but a word of God for the situation. And I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that you can be in a situation and you stop and you say, is God speaking to anyone? And then perhaps very timidly you come up and say, I think God is saying this. And we share it. We say, yes, and that's a word of prophecy. You've been given a word of God for somebody or for the situation. So be open to be used in prophecy. And then the gift of tongues. That's often the controversial gift, tongues. It's when someone speaks in another language. And once again, it can be from God or it can be the human person. When I speak in tongues, I sometimes wonder if I'm making it up. I'm not sure. I think it's tongues. Not sure. Other people, it's clearly God's giving them another language. The first time I heard tongues, I was in England, an Anglican church, studying to get ordained, and I heard there was a church where there were tongues, and it really was something supernatural. Something amazing was happening. I could just tell that God was doing something, and another language came out of people. So those are some of the gifts. It's not an exhaustive list. I didn't even go through all of them in the text. Those are some of the gifts that God gives. In other parts of the Bible, other gifts are mentioned. And the point is, God's got gifts. He wants to give you gifts. He wants to come into your life and by His Spirit give you something that you haven't got. He might take a natural talent and baptize it with His Spirit and make it into something special. How do these gifts work in the church? The next section is where Paul speaks about the body of the church. So what he's done, he first of all says, when you were pagans, you did what you liked, and whatever happened, you thought it was from God. He says, no, you can't just say what you think. It's got to be directed by God's Holy Spirit. It can't just be excitement, religious excitement. Then he gives a list of some of the gifts that people could expect in the church of Corinth, and we can expect today. Then he addresses a similar problem to do with the way people were looking at each other. You see, some gifts were considered so good that everybody wanted them, and they looked down at people who didn't have that gift. So Paul says, the church is a body. The church is a body. You're all part of the body. And he says, and there's two things that a body can do, two things that can happen in a church. And the first one is verses 14, where he says, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. Now, that's a very simple illustration which everybody can understand. The foot can't say to the body, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. But that was happening in the church. There were some people who felt that they weren't part of the body because they weren't like the hand. They were different. They weren't like some of the people that were perhaps more obviously exercising their gifts. So they felt they weren't part of the body. And Paul says, you're all part of the body. You're different, but you're part of the body. So the one is people who feel inferior because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. And then the other is the other way around. People who look down and brag about their gifts and despise others. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And that can happen in the church where there are people who look down on others either perhaps more quite subtly. But they kind of say, if you're not like me, then you're not really part of this church. It's a terrible thing to say. And that was happening in Corinth. And Paul says, we're all one body, we belong together, and God gives different gifts to us so that the body works as a whole for the common good. And then the last section in 1 Corinthians is slightly different. He speaks, we didn't read this. Now you are the body of Christ, verse 27, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, and then he gives a list, prophets, apostles, and teachers, and workers of miracles, etc. And that's slightly different to gifts that are given for a special occasion. Anybody here today can have a gift of healing, if God gives it to you, to pray for someone to be healed. You can have a gift of faith, or one of the other gifts we mentioned, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. That's what God does, and you may have that gift once only in your life. But then there are people who have certain ministries. As you develop and as you grow in your Christian life, it's recognized that you perhaps have a preaching gift or a teaching gift or a gift of releasing people, a way of praying. I'm looking for someone to work with me to pray for people's gifts to be released because I know I don't do it well. I'm not good at getting people to experience the gift of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So I'm looking for people to work with me on that one. And what the second lift of gift is about gifted leadership. Whether it's leadership of one small group or leadership of the church as a whole, there are apostles and teachers and prophets and workers of miracles, etc. And that's proper church leadership. Some people in church leadership are paid and ordained. Some people are paid and not ordained, and many are volunteers. The church cannot work without volunteers who end up being leaders as volunteers. And that whole group of paid and unpaid people is the leadership of the church that Paul mentions here as he finishes this letter. So as we look at this chapter, I really trust that God is doing something in you and in me. I don't want to rely on the past and say, these are the gifts, I've got it all buttoned up. I certainly don't want to be like the eye that says, I don't need you, or the foot that feels they don't belong to the body. I want to be open, and I hope you want to be open. What gift is God going to give you? What is he going to do in your life? And so I want to suggest that when we come to communion today, that you stay for a while if you want to. And we'll just have a slightly longer time of communion then. And if you like, you can signal and I can come and pray with you, or you can just be there and you're saying, God, I want you to work by your Holy Spirit in me. I'm open to what you want to do. And we'll follow it up on Wednesday and other occasions as well. So I'm praying that as we've been through the series on the Holy Spirit, as we look to the gifts of God's Holy Spirit, we're going to be open for him to give us his gifts. Let's pray now.